Welcome to this episode of the Brook Hill United Methodist Church podcast. My name is Reverend Kathy Altman. I'm the associate pastor here, and it is my honor and privilege to be presenting this particular podcast to all of you. Today we are talking with the Building Bridges team here at Brook Hill. This ministry is vital for our current world as we continue to see divisions within our world, as we continue to see hostility and hatred that is on the rise. This is a team that is working to break down walls and build bridges. So I have with me today some members of that team, but I also had the opportunity of interviewing the founder of this particular ministry, Reverend Dawn Brooks. And so she will be joining me as well as we talk about these important topics, as we explore what it is to be one who builds bridges, and as we continue to work to share God's love with all.
Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast ministry, where we're talking about something called Building Bridges here at Brook Hill. Wonderful title, but very deep meaning. And so I have with me Mark Claiborne and Sue Everhart, two of the leaders of this particular ministry here at Brook Hill. In absentia, we have Carrie Cheston and also Nancy Staley, who have been instrumental in helping us with this program. But I wanted to start a little bit with some of the history of how this got started here, what was going on in our environment at that time. And, you know, how is it that this particular ministry speaks to those concerns? So, Mark, I guess I'll talk to you first. You know, do you do you remember what was going on at the time? Yeah. And when did this get started here at Brook Hill?
So the class was started, and I will be frank, I was not involved in the beginning. Our late, great Pastor Gary had invited me after a few sessions, and Pastor Dawn, who was an intern here until she became an actual pastor, wanted to start it to start dialogue with members of the community. So as everybody may know or may not know, Jackson Chapel is Brook Hill's sister church.
Okay.
And I'm in a kind of unique position because I grew up at Jackson Chapel.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The reason why it began was I think at the eve of COVID and the pandemic, there was a lot of unrest and social issues that were going on, especially in relation to police officers and African-Americans being abused on national television.
Okay.
So a lot of tension between races, a lot of tension between people who were protesting, people who didn't really understand why the protests were happening. So a good start, and we thought that the church needs to step into the fray. And Dawn basically brought the two churches together and allowed us to have different sessions based off of this book called Be the Bridge by Latasha Morrison.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I didn't read the book. I don't know if I bought it or not. But it did start the dialogue between, you know, Brook Hill being predominantly Caucasian and Jackson Chapel being predominantly African-American.
Okay. All right. So it started with racial tensions that we saw. And if I recall, that was during the summer of 2020 when everything was just kind of breaking loose at that point. And so, Sue, tell me about your you know, involvement with Building Bridges. How did it come to be for you? And maybe you can share with us the kind of the initial mission statement or the ideas behind this particular ministry.
Yes, I started out at the beginning, very beginning of the gathering for this Building Bridges, and Pastor Dawn had set it up so that we had rules that we followed, and we were able to talk about our feelings openly and not worry about them going outside the room, which was very important at the time. We realized there were tensions, racial tensions, a lot of them on the outside, and we were discussing how the African Americans felt about going into cities like D.C. and Baltimore, and how the rest of us felt about going into those cities. And I was surprised to learn that a lot of African Americans are afraid to go into Washington or Baltimore. That was our first discussion. And we spent several discussions on that same topic because it was so deep. And we tried to figure out what we could do to bridge that gap. And I'm not sure we found ways to bridge it, but we did find ways, find similarities in how people felt regardless of their racial background. And that was really an accomplishment. We originally started to create a safe and brave space to allow open and honest discussions in order to foster compassionate relationships and also deepen the appreciation of the differences between the races. We strive to build bridges across the race, gender, and other social inequities, and through the past couple of years, we found quite a few social inequities that we've discussed. We've discussed issues between men and women, jobs between men and women. We've also discussed inequalities among the genders. And it's been a very, very good ministry for this church to find, especially to find out how everyone feels, whether they're going through social injustices because of their gender or their race. There's so much of it going on, especially these days with the problems with Oriental people and also the Jews and the Palestinians. There's a tremendous amount of hate out there, and I think we need to, going forward, discuss the hate and see if we can't find solutions for that.
Honestly, it seems to start with listening.
It does.
One of the arts that we seem to have lost is how to listen to one another, particularly when we come from opposite sides, you know. I think of political divides. I think of economic and socioeconomic divides. And there's so many ways that we could be divided. And yet this ministry is all about building bridges and building and finding commonalities between between all of us. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I just want to share a story. In my secular career, I had a secretary who was from India. And at one point, there was something major happening with their god in Washington, D.C. There's a big temple there, a Hindu temple, and there was something happening with that statue where they would offer milk to this statue, and it was accepting it during this time. Well, there was great buzz and excitement within her culture, and I was very curious. But you couldn't imagine how much it opened up between us for me to simply ask those questions and to listen. And to be receptive. So that, to me, sounds like what building bridges is all about, is listening to each other, welcoming each other, and sharing stories and insights and things like that. Because, you know, I can't possibly know what it's like to be a male in our country.
I know.
I can't. I'm a female, you know. I can't. I don't know what it's like to be anything other than Christian. And so to be able to explore those things, I think... and to have a safe place to do it, I thank you for sharing that, because, like you said, some may be, you know, fearful because of repercussions that they may see elsewhere. So what are your hopes then for this ministry, either one of you?
I guess I can go first.
Okay.
So honestly, after a while, I thought that, me personally, I did not be involved with building bridges because it felt one-dimensional. I feel like there, like we said, there are multiple things in this, our society, in this world that you can tackle. Pastor Dawn, she was assigned to another church, and the question was, how do we keep the ministry going? How do we keep it thriving? So we created this committee. We had a lot of meetings to discuss this, and we kind of took a step back. We are all part of multiple ministries, everybody who's part of the group. So I suggested that maybe we look at it as a reference ministry to equip people to be able to better serve the community, mm-hmm. better serve people who are less fortunate. I know all three of us have been involved in DCF, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. Caters to a lot of the, Pastor Gary used to call them street people, but homeless.
And just to clarify, that is Downtown Christian Fellowship.
Correct, yeah. Correct. But, you know, we've been there several Saturdays, and sometimes you might get a character that comes in, and you're like, I don't know how I can how I can deal with this person. Right. But even, you know, I can speak to myself personally. I do a lot of recovery ministry mm-hmm, with the mm-hmm. Credo weekends, the Frederick Rescue Mission, and stuff like that. And one thing that I've kind of learned over the years, it's like you said, listening is an art. Someone said to me, it was very profound, that sometimes you just have to be available. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to sit back, you know, keep your mouth shut and listen to somebody get something off their chest. Mm-hmm. So as far as moving the ministry forward, we're hoping to be like a reference for that. So if somebody wants to be involved in mm-hmm. Downtown Christian Fellowship, this is what you need to expect. This is how you carry yourself. Blah, blah, blah. You don't have anything to worry about. Do what you think you're called to do. So in those instances, I do the worship sometimes, and I also enjoy mm-hmm. cooking. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it just gives me an opportunity to create meals for people, and I get feedback all the time. Oh, I would never be able to have a meal like this before. And I'm like, that's the goal. I want to make you something. That I work in D.C. I had at a cafe in D.C. I'm going to recreate this because I want other people to experience this too, and not just people that I know and see at church every day, but people that don't have the opportunity to have that experience.
Yeah, yeah. And just as a background, Downtown Christian Fellowship is a Saturday morning worship for those in the downtown Frederick area. But we also follow every service with a meal. And yeah. it's a time of fellowship, but it's also meeting a need in the community for most of these folks, or many of these folks who may not be able to get a good home-cooked meal from Mark Claiborne. So.
Sue, follow Sue, too.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And, you know, as much as you all love to cook, everyone loves to eat,
yeah, it right.
seems, you know. So, you know, we're all there to help you partake with forks at the ready. There it is. So you've addressed a couple of the topics that you've covered in the past. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? I mean, what else? I know I've heard of gender differences. We talked about the race differences. What else have we you covered so far?
So a lot of the focus has been on like bias and implicit bias.
Okay. Okay.
So again, we took a step back and said, you know what, that can encompass a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I work from home. I'm a computer programmer, but okay. I have the opportunity to be able to watch different YouTube clips pretty much all day. And I came across a certain show. I think somebody in the group suggested it. It's called What Would You Do? I think. And one thing that kind of stood out to me, because I have grandparents that aren't highly educated,
mm-hmm.
and noticed that there's differences between me and them. The way I think and the way that they think mm-hmm. isn't on the same par.
Right.
And sometimes the communication breaks down. So mm-hmm. like I found a video to show the group about, and they're actors, but there was a guy who wanted ice cream, and he walks into a cafe and he looks at the menu
uh-huh.
and there's tons of flavors, but he can't read.
He can't read. Okay.
So,
okay.
you know, he asks the barista, hey, this is embarrassing, but I can't read. Can you just rattle them all for me? I can make a choice. And the actress yeah. gave yeah. him a hard time, but we kind of overlook a lot of those things.
Right.
But us as Christians, it was assuring to see like people who are witnessing this, mm-hmm, they're stepping mm-hmm. up like, hey, that's wrong. You know, you can't fault this guy for not having a college education and
right.
things of that nature.
Right.
So it's kind of like I'm a grammar guy. I have an English degree. The argument between empathy and sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people get that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one is I can feel what I could put myself in your situation and act accordingly, which we didn't see with that actress to the guy, but, or sympathize with you. Oh, I understand. I'm going to sympathize with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done that. Again, generational, went through a few, generational gaps that we have, how,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boomers may see the world differently from Gen X and Gen Z.
And why?
Yeah, right.
Don't forget why, right?
We brought
millennials
in
or whatever.
We brought in special guests. We've had
awesome.
A member of Shalom come in and give us a testimony about his process of immigration and how he got his family over here, and people were helping him out. And like I said, we try to make this fun. So we have opportunities to watch films. We've watched Jackie Robinson to kind of understand both mm-hmm. sides of the mm-hmm. coin. You know, he was a figure that broke barriers in America's sport, baseball. But, you know, look at it from different angles. I pulled up other clips, and it's like what people don't realize is other African-Americans actually hated on Jackie Robinson.
Huh.
So it's like, all right, I don't get praise and accolades from Caucasians, and I don't get it from my own people. Now, he's pretty much isolated in this
wow.
world.
Wow, okay.
And then another one that we recently watched was Jesus Revolution, just to understand the hippies in the 70s, kind of the pushback that they got from people of the church. And it kind of reminds you of the parable of the lost son.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the older brother is like, oh, well, I've been doing everything right. Why does this person get the attention? Why is this person, mm-hmm. you know, why is mm-hmm. my brother being brought in and put on a pedestal? Mm-hmm. So we try to break down a lot of different things that go on in
awesome.
Society.
Just again, for clarification, Mark, you mentioned Shalom. That is our ministry here to our Hispanic population. So it is a service in Spanish led by Pastor Jennifer, who does a great job. Pastor Jennifer Morris Rivera, I think is her name, if I get the pronunciation correct there. So anyway, all right. Awesome. Thank you. Well, Sue, what kind of topics do you think might be coming up in the future?
Definitely. The different races that are having issues today. There's so many people that are afraid to go out their door, mm-hmm. and it's difficult. I do a lot of volunteer work with the Board of Child Care, and their staff is very diverse, and they actually did a study mm-hmm. on implicit bias at before Building Bridges even started.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, they really celebrate the different nationalities and customs. And they have special meals where they serve food from other countries and, mm-hmm. and cultures. And it's not the perfect solution, but it's working on a problem, even among the staff.
I know they
take in a lot of children that are crossing the border unaccompanied, and it's not unusual for a staff person to come to the office and say, you know, I'm fluent in this language. Is there anything I can do to help?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they just bring those kids in and take yeah. care of them. So I've had a lot of experience with different cultures, and I think it's something we need to look at seriously mm-hmm. because there's so much hate in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I do know that in the United States in particular, this is my personal, I'm just speaking. So we are, I'm not sure how to put this, but we very much want everyone to speak English. Whereas when I have traveled in other countries, English is always an option
yeah.
because it's their second language and it's taught you know, all over, but rarely do we find those in the United States that can speak multiple languages mm-hmm. and be able to converse with folks in their own language. So I've seen this a lot in the healthcare field where I began, because people were having to make serious healthcare decisions using not their primary language. And so it's a bridge that needs to be built. You're right.
Yeah.
So So awesome. So you're looking again at different race issues. Are we looking at different, you know, possibly different religions or different denominations or anything like that? Or are we looking at?
Yeah. So our last meeting, I think that was last month. I can't remember. I got so many things going on, but we did start the conversation with that. So I do want to kind of dive deeper into sort of like the Abrahamic mm-hmm. religions and how we basically put stigmas on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got the Jews, you got the Muslims and Christians. And we started to dive into it, but that might be a topic that we pull up later on in the year. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in favor of rehashing a lot of the topics that we have, especially if we bring in more people to be involved. But we're definitely in the planning stages of what this year
gotcha.
Is coming.
Gotcha. Pick an ism and, you know, like ageism, sexism, you know, racism, whatever ism there is. It's possible to build a wall, and you all are attempting to build a bridge. And that's what I feel is just instrumental in helping us to learn from one another and grow together as a multicultural body of Christ, you know. Yeah.
And we want to have fun with it, too.
It's not absolutely.
We just sit around and just talk our heads off for 2 hours. Yeah. So, you know, I really want to start getting into bringing in guest people who can speak a little bit further in their experiences. Mm-hmm, One of the lessons that we talked about, it's hard for people on the quote-unquote winning side to understand. So you don't know that there is a winning and a losing side unless the loser actually speaks up.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
So a lot of our lessons throughout the year, they build upon each other. So, mm-hmm. you know, we did implicit bias, and generational, but they all built upon each other. And oftentimes we are like, well, remember we talked about this last week or last month. It builds into what we're talking about this month, too.
Okay. So you all meet monthly. Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In general, I know there's some months that you kind of take off, particularly around Christmas season or, you know, vacations, things like that. But you, Mark, you made a good point. If someone were to want to join in, do they have to have had a long history with building bridges, or is each session somewhat, even though it builds from the last one, is there some like holistic measure to each?
Well, we're going to do a background check, and we need the W-2.
Three references.
No.
Yeah.
No. So we try to advertise as much as we can. Everybody is free to come.
Okay.
We also want to start branching out and, like I said, be a support group for the other ministries as well. So we often, among ourselves, we invite each other to the different things that we're a part of. I know Sue and I do the meal down for Downtown Christian Fellowship. Mm-hmm. I can always use an extra hand. I'm pretty sure Sue can always use an extra hand, right? So, you know, we extend that to not only the people in the group, but also people at our church just to experience once, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I don't limit it myself to just the people in the church either. Like, guys that I hang out with during the week, too, they ask me what I do and, you know, for ministry and all that type of stuff. And they're like, you know what? That's something that I really want to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So even like Brook Hill, we sponsor like the meal and stuff like that. I have some friends who are very blessed, and they're like, you know what? Just give me a call next time that you're doing a meal. Tell the church, either I'll make a donation to the church or I'll cater it for you.
Oh,
they
wow.
don't have to worry about it. So it's just a matter of building relationships, I think that's mm-hmm. a lost art, especially with members of my generation. And after, you know, we really are our heads down in our phones and our tablets mm-hmm, and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So just actually having a conversation, it basically builds, you know, that initial bridge, and then it can open so many other doors for us.
Right. And it's not just something that is just encased here at Brook Hill, but it's a matter of teaching these skills, because we all live normal lives. We have to go out and do and be in the real world. So it's good for us to take those skills and use them all the time. I know some will. I've shared that I have a son who believes in a pagan religion at this point. But boy, do we have some interesting theological discussions.
Yeah.
It is awesome, but those doors are open. And that's what's important, is to just not slam those doors shut, but to keep the building of the bridge going on. So anyway. Yeah.
And we bring snacks too, so.
Hey, you know, start with, you know, was it Unity through, in that Fluffy's thing, Unity through food or something?
Right.
You know?
We have had people that have joined the group and missed the first 6 or 8 gatherings, and they meld in just fine, and
awesome.
Everybody's welcome.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Felt welcome.
All right.
They felt welcome.
All right. Well, what do you all see, or what are your hopes for the future with this particular ministry?
Taking it outside.
Okay.
And making sure everybody inside is aware of what we're doing and invited to join us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to take it outside.
Well, and I think that's part of what this podcast is all about. It's meant to go beyond the walls of Brook Hill, mm-hmm. And to invite anyone who might be interested in this type of ministry.
Exactly.
So, all right. So how can we best support your ministry here at Brook Hill?
I wrote down in my notes prayer.
Okay.
We're always fluid with topics. So like I said, I'm in favor of rehashing a lot of old topics, especially if we start running out of stuff. Mm-hmm. But we also want to stay current with certain issues. So, you know, like something that could have been going on 2 years ago, it had fizzled out with the culture or society, and there's something new that we need mm-hmm. to start talking mm-hmm. about. And then prayer, just, you know, on the idea of how we can help serve the other ministries. I feel like when, you know, a lifetime church member, I feel like all these ministries are stood up and people are just kind of in their own silo. Mm-hmm. They are, I really don't care about what's going on in that other ministry because okay. I'm focused on what I'm doing. We want, you know, everybody to know that we are a support group. So regardless of if you just need something to talk about, maybe you had a conflict in a ministry that you're working mm-hmm. in, you know, we can help you out, say, oh, well, yeah, we covered this in our class, or we can do some research and find, you know, some references for you to help you along the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, any last thoughts from either of you as we kind of close out today?
No.
There's a lot of research out there, and there's a lot of work to do.
Yes, there is.
Building the bridges.
You're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. And someone asked me today, what is radical hospitality? And to me, that's exactly what you're talking about, is being radical with, you know, I mean, dare I say it, over the top with being welcoming and open to others. And what does that look like today? Raising your eyes from your phone, yeah. You know, sharing a smile with somebody, just welcoming people yeah. and realizing, you know, we're all part of the human race and we're all here to, you know, to do the best that we can and to serve God in every way that we can. So,
exactly.
So I wanted to thank you both for joining me today and sharing message of this very important ministry and how we can branch that forward, hopefully expand it, and also, you know, speak to everyone, because I think it never hurts to continue to be bridge builders. Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So as we're continuing with this podcast for Building Bridges, I had the opportunity to talk with Don Brooks Tharps, one of the main founders of this particular ministry at Brook Hill. Now, she has moved on to another church, but, you know, her legacy lives on. And so we wanted to chat with her as well. So, Dawn, thank you so much for joining me as we talk more about this Building Bridges ministry at Brook Hill United Methodist Church. Could you just kind of give me, you know, sort of your synopsis of how this all got started at
sure.
Brook Hill? Sure.
I sure can. Thank you, mm-hmm. Kathy, so much for having me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So the group Building Bridges began when I was interning mm-hmm. at Brook Hill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during that time, it was, you know, a difficult time racially. And it was when George Floyd was murdered.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There were a lot of, you know, like racial issues going on. And mm-hmm. a member had approached me and asked me, you know, like, what can I do, you know? And so I really pondered that and thought mm-hmm. about what can we do on a church level, right? Where we can, you know, talk about race, mm-hmm. But talk about race in, you know, a safe way. So people feel safe to have difficult discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, essentially the group was founded to have difficult discussions, primarily centered around race, uh-huh. but then about other difficult subjects, you know, religion and politics and gender and social inequalities, but through compassionate and candid conversations that really helped to foster relationships and deepen connections and also appreciating everyone's differences.
Yeah. In other words, modeling what or following what Jesus modeled for us. You know,
exactly.
I'm always fascinated by how many barriers he was willing to break down and, you know, shock people quite literally, you know, with right. breaking down these barriers, but they needed to come down. And right. it was so disheartening, as I recall, around that time. Now, I was not at Brook Hill at the time either, but it was so disheartening to see the just the explosion of racism. And in other words, hadn't gone away. It just right. resurfaced. And if we don't address that at the root, you know, it's going to continue to keep festering and doing this. So I really appreciate you all answering this call in a very special way, because it was so needed and is still so needed. So yeah. you touched on what was happening at the time in our world, in our country, you know, and that unrest that was going on. And so I appreciate that. So as far as, you know, kind of fast forwarding to today, mm-hmm. where do you see this going today? And, you know, do we, you know, I know that we've touched on a lot of isms, mm-hmm. Racism, sexism, ageism, you know, all of those isms that can really divide us. You know, so what do you see as, you know, where we should be going right now? And then possibly what are your hopes then for the future?
Right. So I am just so elated that these discussions have continued
mm-hmm.
because I was concerned, you know, when I was appointed and getting ready to leave, I was concerned about, you know, what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy that the discussions have continued. And so my hope is that the discussions will continue, right? and that people will, I don't know what the interest level in these discussions are, but I hope that, you know, they will, you know, that people will be interested in having these difficult discussions because they are important. And it really starts at the church level, right? Because, We proclaim that we're Christians, right? And we proclaim like all these things, you know, to love others and, you know, selflessly mm-hmm. and kind and to be nice, right? And so we really in the church should be having these difficult discussions at the church so that we can influence our spheres. So our circles, so our families and our friends. And so my hope is that Brook Hill will continue to have these difficult discussions and will and also to partner, you know, with other churches, because I know mm-hmm. that there are some churches in Frederick who are having these discussions as well, but partnering with other mm-hmm. churches or other organizations, just so that we can have a bigger impact to continue to have these difficult discussions that are much needed so that we can have some impact on our community.
Amen. So amen, sister. Well, I've talked to some of my team members and I've said, you know, the sign of a good leader is when things go well when you're there. The sign of a great leader is when things go well when you're not there. And so even though you have moved on from Brook Hill and was appointed elsewhere, your great leadership holds true. And so I thank you. Really, I do thank you for that. Right. You and I never got a chance to work together, but you know, you have some pretty tough shoes to fill, let me just say. So yeah, for the future then, do you see what hopes do you have for us being able to finally break down these barriers and build these bridges that are so important? Hence the whole term building bridges. That's what it's all about. But, you know, sin is still here and this is a fight and it's a difficult one. So, you know, I guess I can share my hope is that we will continue to learn and not continue to make the same mistakes that we've done in the past over and over and over again. But to move forward and to, you know, kind of finally get it, what Jesus was teaching us about.
Exactly.
So what about you?
Yeah. So that's my hope. I always say, you know, every day, thank God for giving me another day to get it right. right?
And yes, so, yes.
You know, my hope is that people will, you know, will continue to have these difficult conversations and will acknowledge, right, some of the wrongs that have been done in the past, right? Mm-hmm, because we need mm-hmm. to acknowledge our history.
Yes.
In order to, you know, to make change and mm-hmm. to our future. And not be afraid to have these conversations. And so right. I'm always hopeful, despite what we see in the news. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this negativity, all this stuff that's going on in the world, it can
yeah.
deter us from being hopeful. So
yes.
I want everyone to remain hopeful. There's always hope that we will get it right.
Yes. You know,
but it starts with us. And if we just change one person, you know,
mm-hmm.
I remember in the group, someone said, you know, how, you know, this is a big world. How are we going to change the world? I was like, we can't change the world. Right. But if we can change people within our sphere, then they can change other people within their influence. And mm-hmm. then it just goes on and on and on. So don't think about, you know, changing this big world that we live in,
mm-hmm.
but just changing and influencing the people that are around us.
Amen. So. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Reverend Dawn Brooks-Tharps, for joining us on this podcast. God bless you. And we thank you so much for inspiring us in this particular ministry. Take care.
Thank you, Kathy. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Well, special thanks to the Building Bridges team for joining me today. I hope that you have learned a little bit about this ministry and are intrigued to want to get more involved, because in our world, it is all about building bridges. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the podcast. We'll see you next time. God bless.